I kept searching. I like to have titles for my message, but God never told us we had titles for our messages. But it kind of is a signpost. It's a kind of let you know what I'm preaching about. And I finally just come up with this one: signs from God that are before us. Signs from God that are before us. And what I had in my mind was thinking about his second coming, thinking about the rapture of the church when he returns and we meet him, all those who trust him and believe in him, in the air, in the clouds of heaven, as he comes with power and great glory. But my thought was, we've already talked about a lot of this, we've talked about the signs, but I want to focus more on what's ahead. What signs that the Bible talks about have not yet fully come to pass or in the process of coming to pass? Because you know there are some signs that are in the process of happening. We can see them. They're not completed yet. And there are some, if we look in our Bible, that may not have come to pass yet at all, or we see them on the horizon. Now, some people say all the signs have happened. I personally don't think so, and I will state why today. So let me go ahead. I got to stick to my text, because I can tell you this is the kind of message. This is 18 pages long, and I'm not going to give you TMI this morning. I'm going to take a plunger and try to make sure I get this whole sermon done today. I'm going to take my time, and at a good stopping point, we'll stop, and I'll pick up where I leave off, because this is not something we want to just run through like a NASCAR race. You know, we're not running a race here. I want you to digest this. We are living in this kind of time where end-time messages, things like this, should be preached across every pulpit in America, and sadly, it's not. So let me start out by saying, we're going to talk about road signs for a minute. There are reasons we have road signs on the highway. I was reminded of this the other day when I was on 465. And I'm going to tell you, it was, why do I even drive on that road? You know, I'm not a fast driver. It says speed limit 55. You ever try to go 55 on 465? They're saying now that the police will pull you over if you're going 55 in the fast lane. Now, I was not in the fast lane. I'm always on the far right-hand side, right? Letting people out, letting people in. But we have road signs on the highway for a reason. They guide and direct us. They warn us of danger if we don't pay attention to them. They show us where we are and what lies ahead, right? You know, I don't know how many of you knew. You look at me and say, did he really? Wow, I can't even picture Kevin doing this. Did you know I drove a truck at one time? A big truck with a big horn. I love using that horn. But yes, I did. Believe it or not, I went into the CDL, went through the training there at AT&T. And believe it or not, I passed. It was excruciating training. They had you back up and do all kinds of stuff. And the guy sat and watched your every move. You had a 40-point truck check. Every time you got in that truck, you had to check all this stuff. No truck driver does that. I can tell you that when they finally get on the highway. But you had to do it to pass. And so then they take the road test. And this guy sitting there in the passenger side, just designed to make you a nervous wreck, because you know he's watching everything you're doing. You just know you're going to do something wrong just because he's watching, right? So they're telling us stuff like, scan your mirrors for, you know, they had you scan the mirrors on each side so much you couldn't even hardly watch the road. I would do it different, but of course, I'm not an instructor. But I'm out there on the highway, and the training place was over there on Lyndhurst, and there's a place in Indianapolis, there's a road that you can take, but it's got a low bridge. And there's a sign talking about how low that bridge is. And they're going to see if you're paying attention to the sign, so you don't turn on that road, right? Now, I'm so busy paying attention, trying to do everything just right, all this kind of thing, watching, looking in my mirrors. I didn't see the sign. And so the minute I turned on the road, I saw him do his thing. I thought, uh-oh, something went wrong. And he goes, stop the truck right now. I said, right here? He goes, pull over the best you can and stop the truck. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what have I done? He said, if I let you go up this road a little further, you're going to take the whole top end of the truck off. Low bridge. How many trucks have we seen not see the sign here, come all the way up, and some have taken the top off of their trucks in this bridge up here? Or they realize it way up there, and they're trying to back up. I can't tell you how many times, if I've been at church, that I've had to go out there and help trucks back all the way up, get turned around, and go around. These signs are important on the highway. If you don't pay attention to them, really, if you don't, you could die, right? You can. You should pay attention to them. God himself continually puts signs of direction there for us as we travel the highway of life. He does it in his word, right? He does it through gifts of the Spirit, prophecy, words of knowledge, dreams, visions, all these things. God has done a lot for us to help us stay out of danger, help us to know when to turn right or to turn left, when to stay, but he's going to keep us on that narrow path wherever it takes us. In his holy word, he's made it very plain what we are to look for and pay attention to, so we are aware of what is to come and the general time he will return for us. Not only in your general daily life, that he gives you road signs along the way to guide you, there is a big event coming, church, and it's called the end of the world, the end of the age. And this event is so serious that at that time he will separate the sheep from the goats. The believers will go up, they'll meet the Lord in the air. We call this the rapture of the church. There's a lot of people that don't like you using the word rapture. It means being caught away. I use it. I think it's very scriptural. Or all those that believe in him will meet him in the air, and he will resurrect the bodies of any dead person and put that body together. It will clothe the soul of those people that have already gone on, and we'll all be gathered together from him from all those places. It's called the rapture. And it's so serious, I believe, and I'm going to say this, it's further down in my notes, this kind of a message, and I'm going to have it for a few weeks. Marvin may speak in between just to give you a little break, all right? You may not agree with me because this is that kind of a subject. But I don't believe, and right away some people, don't put up a wall and not listen to anything else I say. I think if you miss it, it's too late. I think the Lord said it was so serious. I don't think you just, it's not like a bus stop where you miss the first bus, the next one's going to come along or the... No. It's that serious. My Bible says, blessed is he that hath part in the first resurrection, for the second death have no power. The next resurrection will be of the unjust. Do not miss the rapture. Make sure you are born again. If you don't get anything else, you don't have to agree with me on whether people get saved after the rapture or not. I'm just saying, I err on the side of caution. Do not miss the rapture. Be born again. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. This is in Matthew. You don't have to turn there. I'm sure that Daniel will try his best to get it up on the board. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the doors. Now see all these things. He had mentioned these things earlier in that chapter, what to look for. Because they asked him the question, Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the world, the end of the age? So he gave them a lot of signs there. And he was telling them to look for those signs. Now, in reality, no one knew the day or the hour. And those disciples thought that he might come in their lifetime. But he also wrote that for generations to come. For it is appointed time to turn. And Peter said it very well, that in the last days there'd be scoffers saying, you guys have been saying he's coming for years and saying, you know, he's not going to come back. And Peter warned people to not take that opinion, that that's what would happen in the last days. I can tell you this. I'm going to give you a little insight. There was one disciple that knew that he would not come in his lifetime. Does that shock you? I can prove it. I'm not even on my notes. I'm already way off my notes. But you know what? St. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, was very ashamed, at his crucifixion. Jesus appeared before him, and he asked him, what question did Jesus ask Peter three times? Somebody blurted out. Of course I love you. But anyway, he asked him three times if he loved him. And it was like it was undoing the denial. But he later told Peter, the day is going to come when you are old, he said, when you are old, that they're going to take you away where you don't want to go. And then the scripture says after that, thus signifying the death, he would glorify God. Peter already knew that he was going to die here before the rapture. Now, that's a real humdinger to throw out there to you, but it is the truth. That's why Peter is the one that stated over and over, a day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, because he had some insight that this may be longer, his coming may be longer than a lot of the other disciples thought. So when Jesus said these things, yes, he was speaking to them, but he was speaking to those that would come, generations to come, because he's God. He didn't, while he was in bodily form, know when he was coming back himself. He said only the Father knew. But he knew by the Spirit of God that Peter would live his life out here and die. So I'm throwing that out there to you, because a lot of people had a misnomer that Jesus came in 70 AD. Now there is a poisonous doctrine out there, and you're thinking that sounds crazy. Well, it is. It is. And if you believe in preterism today, you're going to have to love me anyway. But I'm going to tell you, that is very off base. Preterism is the theory that Jesus came back in 70 AD when the Jews were scattered. It was like secret rapture. And you know, I'm going to tell you, people, if Jesus had returned in 70 AD, we wouldn't even be here now. We'd be in the 1,000-year reign. It would even be over, because it's now 2,000 years. And you would see the lion, the lamb, and the wolf all eating straw and getting along together. Put them in a room and see what happens. But that's called preterism. Beware, that doctrine has crept into the church. And what they teach is that we are now in the 1,000-year reign, and that everything's all not literal, like the Bible says, but it's all symbolic, even though it's been 2,000 years. I don't want to get too off on this theory, because I don't want your head to be spinning with it. But somehow we are going to get the world and the devil under our feet. We're going to get all the wealth of the unrighteous. We're going to rule the world. And when Jesus does come back, we're going to present to him a perfect world where everybody's all with unicorns and rainbows and fairies and all this stuff. I don't know if a fairy's a demonic creature or not. Anyway, that's preterism. And some of you may say, Kevin, you're botching that up. But it's kind of like that. It's off the wall. But now, with our tickling ears today, we want to believe those kinds of theories. We don't want to have to go through what the church is going to have to go through. Because Jesus said, as they've done it to me, they will do it to you also. We are here on this earth. There is something called suffering for the Lord. We stay here for the sake only of the lost. Did you know that? There's no other reason for us to stay on this planet. We can get on with eternity in the world to come. But Jesus has us stay here because there are lost and dying people out here. And I'm going to show you some signs that I believe are coming to pass, maybe not totally fulfilled yet. And if we do our jobs, he will get back here and get us out of here. All right? So, let me get back on my text. Oh, I went off. In my younger days, and I remember being at AT&T in different places, and I was very vocal in the break room. I was very vocal. And I can tell you, it made Christians uncomfortable. And I didn't know why it made them uncomfortable. I thought we all should be vocal about our faith. I had comments like, I don't preach to people, Kevin. I show them how I live. And I'm thinking, I haven't seen you win and win soul to Christ yet here all these years. Or I don't go around quoting scripture to people. I don't believe in that. When my Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, it says preach the gospel, preach the word, be instant in season and out. So I would hear all this stuff and I had to keep filtering it out by the word. Are you kidding me? I'll pull my sword out when I need to do it. So they would throw, I would mention the signs I saw happening in the world. Wars and rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and all the things Jesus would talk about. How that those signs indicate to us that his coming is near. And then here would come along these Christians that were so uncomfortable, they wanted to put Jesus in a little box when they went to work, take him back out in church, maybe have him out a little bit at home. I don't know. I rejected all that, and I still do. And I'm 64 now. I thought maybe I'd turn old and sour life. I said, God, don't let me turn into that. Right. They would throw cold water on what I was talking about and say, well, Kevin, I'm not looking for the signs. Of course, some of them were real paranoid because they knew I was a tongue talker. And anytime you said signs, oh my gosh, he's going to talk in tongues all over. So they were afraid of the signs because that might mean I might cut loose with something really strange to them. They'd say, I'm not looking at the signs. I'm just looking for him. And I used to sit there and think, well, what are you doing? Are you going outside and staring at the sky? Okay, Jesus, I'm waiting for him. Turn to the east here. I'm looking. Jesus told us here, so likewise you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. He told us to look for these signs. I was being obedient. You don't look for Jesus by staring at a cloud out here, unless God's brought you the cloud, then it'll be another situation there. I will proclaim today, and we have people watching on Facebook out there, and sometimes we have ministers, and they could be anywhere on earth. They can be here in this community. Maybe they don't like me very well. I don't know. I'm not at war with preachers of these big fancy churches around here. I just want to make sure they are preaching all of the word, the whole thing. So I will proclaim that churches should frequently, in these last days, refer to God's word concerning the end of the world and the second coming of Jesus more now than ever. Do you realize every day that passes, every single day that passes, you are one day closer to his return? We are in an age where this is where we should be talking about it the most, because we can point in this world and say, see, this is happening. This is what the word says. That's happening. Be ready, church. Keep oil in your lamp. Be ready. And yet these churches will not even go there. Chet's brother, Byron, who is, I never seen a kid so on fire for God when he was a kid. Oh my goodness, Byron was, when he got filled with the Spirit, I felt like we needed to probably put him in a cage for a little while, because he was just. Now Byron goes, or did go, I don't know if he's still going there, to a great big mega church in this area. Great big one. And I said, Byron, when was the last time the minister or anyone spoke or preached out of the book of Revelation? And I saw Byron look down to the table, and he said, never. 5, 6, 7,000 people in a church that you are responsible for, and you don't even go there? You don't talk about the end of the age? You don't talk about the end of the world? I mean, after all, they might not, they don't want to scare anybody, right? Oh my goodness, we don't want to lose people. No, you are responsible for these souls. And I'm grieved to report to you today that it seems like that is a very subject many churches avoid, especially your big mega churches, unless they've been built on the word in the first place. So I'm going to say it. I remember being at a conference of David Wilkerson one time, and it was a minister's conference. He didn't charge a dime. He didn't pay admission to get in or anything. He was old school, and he was no nonsense. And he talked about pastors getting caught up in pornography on one of his messages. And oh my goodness, the air was so thick with the Holy Spirit. And this, and he told people, he said, we're going to have a time of ministry, deliverance here. And he said, if you don't mean it, if this is some emotional pop in you, don't come up here. I am too old to play games. That was David Wilkerson. And this guy came running from the back, wailing before. Now, in a lot of churches, this would be offensive. They'd probably carry him out. The ushers would probably come and get. He came wailing from the back, slid on his face a good 20, 25 feet up to that altar. He got delivered that day. He got delivered. And so I'm going to say, I'm 64 and I feel like I'm too old to play games. I'm too old to play games. I want to address all pastors that might catch this broadcast today. Woe to anyone who has been assigned to shepherd God's precious bride if you continue to avoid this subject. The second coming of Christ, the end of the age, and the fact that judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Woe to you if you don't, if you just take 12 little sermons, how to have a better marriage, and they're not bad subjects, how to have a better this, how to do that, put them all in different packages and boxes every week, and they look different, but they're all the same 12 messages that tickle your ears, and you don't really get convicted or delivered of anything. Woe to anyone who has been assigned to shepherd God's precious bride if you continue to avoid this subject. You will be accountable for not giving the whole counsel of God's word because it is uncomfortable to you. God help us. And I'm not saying that out of hate. I'm saying it in love because I don't want to see people miss the rapture. I don't want to see them, if they go out here and get killed on the highway, go to hell. I want him to be born again. And you know, there is a place and a time to preach God's love, right? I've been to third world countries where that is the kind of message they needed, because hell for them was on earth already. They needed to know the love and goodness of God. But people, when we have a nation like America with a church on every street corner, and the gospel has been preached over and over, and our hearts are hard, and we're making laws that make gay marriage legal. Alex, you got me fired up last week, brother. I'm going to tell you. Make gay marriage legal, abort all these kids, kill innocent babies, and do all the things we're doing. Now we need hard medicine. We need strong medicine. We're not responding to the love of God. We're trampling on it. We've been blessed beyond measure in this country. And so now our sermons might need to be a little more like Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, that's not all we preach, but I think we need that now in America. But in this day and age we're living in, people, we cannot avoid the fact that Jesus could come at any time. So this morning, I want to look at these signs, mainly the ones that perhaps are ahead of us. The end time signs that have yet to be fully fulfilled. And I'm saying this not just to you today, because I know this is going out into the world. And I want people to see how true this Bible is, how accurate it is. Things that were written thousands of years ago that there's no way they would have known. And now we see it happening. I want you to be prepared for what lies ahead, so that it won't take you unaware, so you will realize that we are fully on God's timetable, and even if it doesn't seem so, that He has things fully under control. I want you to say this with me. God has things fully under control. Say it. God has things fully under control, and it matters not whether you feel like it or not. He does. I will warn you this morning that I'm still in my introduction, so I will probably find a stop and place at a good time. I will warn you this morning that what I might say could disturb you. You might not even agree with everything I say this morning, but I ask you to love me anyway. I ask you to see my heart, because what I want more than anything in the world is for lost people to come to Jesus through this message. That's the main thing. I want Christians, I've always told people, I'd rather catch fish than clean them. When you're a pastor, you're supposed to be cleaning fish. Yuck. Love y'all. But I also want Christians to get their oil, the lamp and their oil full now. Some of you, your oil's half full. Some of you, your oil may be almost out. I want you to get it filled up again and be ready for what lies ahead. Usually it's not the events we struggle to realize that are going to happen. It's often the timing, when and where and how these things will take place. That's where Christians disagree. I said this before, but the 700 Club, I love the 700 Club. I still do to this day. Used to be a counselor on the 700 Club. They had a center in Indianapolis, and when they said call the prayer line, I got, and several of us got calls. It was quite, you really stretched your faith. You had to be ready for anything that came your way. You had to be ready if somebody called and said, I'm sitting here with a gun to my head. Give me a reason to live. You got those kind of calls, right? So you had to be prayed up. But the 700 Club decided to have a friendly, Dave, Marvin, a friendly debate on the subject of the second coming. They had a pre-trib guy. You know what pre-trib is, right? There's a seven-year period of trouble coming on the earth. Pre-trib, Jesus comes at, you might, don't correct me here, but correct me later. The beginning of the seven-year period is pre-trib. We're getting out of here before all this stuff starts happening. Mid-trib is that the mid-trib person believes that we're going to be here just a little longer, maybe around 3.5 years longer. The Antichrist will be revealed. He'll start persecuting God's people, the church, for a short time, and it'll get really rough for the Christians. And then before the wrath comes, we're out of here. Post-trib is at the end of that 7 years, where everything happens and then we're out of here. Now, here we are as Christian people. We're supposed to love one another. And we're talking about a period of seven, and the older I get, the shorter those years become. Seven short years. Now, they won't seem short when they happen. And we're biting and devouring and attacking one another about where in that period, in that little slide rule, Jesus is going to come back. They got on the 700 Club, going to be a friendly debate, and they were practically punching each other out. So, so intense on their doctrine. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. The moderator had to step in and try to break them up. We did that once in Evansville. We decided, what a mistake, Marvin, Dave, can you imagine this? We decided to have Christian debate night on Sunday nights. And we got pastors in the area. We had all these controversial, I don't know what Adam and I were thinking. I don't know what we were thinking. I will tell you this, Sunday nights became packed. We had packed crowds. But I soon realized they were coming to watch the boxing match from all these churches. We had one night where we had pastors debate whether the gifts of the Spirit ceased or not, whether they passed away or they're still here. That kind of got ugly. But I'm going to tell you, people, the night that we had the pre-trib, the mid-trib, and the post-trib guy there, oh my goodness, that's when Adam and I looked and said, we got to stop this. This isn't causing people to dig into their Bible more. It's causing a lot of division. And people were saying terrible things. This guy was sitting out there. He worked at Whirlpool, and it was my turn. And I'm in the mid-trib guy, I'm the guy that thinks it's going to get rough for a little while, but I'm pre-wrath. I think we're going out for the wrath of God. And every time I went to speak, he'd stand at me and go, wait, wait, wait. And I couldn't get a word in edgewise. It was a fiasco. It was interesting because we discussed a lot of subjects. I don't think we ever did get to the woman question, whether women preach or don't preach in church and all that. That's a rough one. I don't want to deal with that here, just to be frankly honest. But those are the three main views, and in reality, for me personally, I can tolerate any one of those. I really can. Because if you look at Scripture, it's sound enough. You can really find Scriptures to support those. In fact, my favorite, I'm not a pre-trib. I'm not at the very beginning. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I'm just going to tell you guys that. My favorite movie, however, is an old one. It's called A Thief in the Night. And it is a pre-trib movie. But look at the theme of that movie is be ready, for in an hour which you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I used to show that to youth, and I can't tell you how many kids I got saved watching that movie. They wanted to be ready. They didn't want to be left behind. So the evangelist in me, Lord, I'll let them see that you may come back 3.5 years sooner than what I'm thinking, because you got people saved. So I can tolerate anybody here who falls in any of these three categories. For we're talking about a period of 7 years, and his coming falls either at the beginning or the 7 years, the end of it, or somewhere in between. But what I will not allow, as long as I'm pastor, is somebody coming in here and saying to you guys that Jesus came back in 70 AD and we've been in the 1,000-year reign, and I won't tolerate that doctrine. Can't do it. I mean, my goodness, that's a scary thing, right? I'm seeing the elders smiling on this one. I think they're more pre-trib, and that's okay. So perhaps you are aware of the many signs that have come to pass already found in the world, but what I want to focus on is what has yet to come to pass. What signs are there that we can expect to maybe even happen in our lifetime before Jesus comes? If I'm to be a good shepherd here at Corinth, there are times I must prepare you for what lies ahead and pray you are strong in the Lord so it won't overtake you by surprise. Because honestly, if we start going through these things, there will be some people that will say, hey, where's God in all this? I'm afraid. I'm scared. I thought he was coming back. I thought he'd be here by now. I don't want anybody losing faith. Luke 21, 34 and 35. Here's a warning. And the reason I want to occasionally, and I have throughout the time of my pastorate, got back on the subject of the second coming, and I've taught it on Wednesday night as well, is because you need to be aware of the times you're living in. Here's a warning from the Lord. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For as a snare, it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now that's pretty big. He's saying, keep your eyes open. Stay in my word. Keep your ear to the ground. Keep your ear to my voice. Stay filled with the Holy Spirit so I can talk to you clearly. Don't get caught up, and there's something the Bible also says, the spirit of this age. Churches have gotten into so much deceit, they have no clue about the second coming. I remember one time, and if you call my phone number down in Evansville, it's still hooked up, not to a place, to a cross box. This benefit I have at the phone company. Maybe most of you don't know what a cross box is. But anyway, if you call that number, you're going to get a gospel message. I've had gospel messages on my answering device. My family used to, Kevin, could you at least shorten the messages? Well, I had to hear a whole sermon before I could leave a message. Hallelujah. Any telemarketer, any stray person that calls my number gets the gospel, right? Right now there, it's 812-422-8888. You can call it and you can hear me give just a straight salvation message, all right? But one day here, I lived in Pittsburgh before I moved to Evansville. I decided to put a portion on of David Wilkerson. Now, I've quoted him twice today. And he had a message called Silly Virgins. And that message had to do with the bride, the church, making sure their oil stayed in their lamp at the midnight hour. Because, you know, church, it says at midnight the cry was made. At midnight, go out and meet the bridegroom. Jesus gave the cry at the darkest hour. Now, that sermon was heavy. And he went through a little portion about if we could spend just 5 minutes in heaven and 3 minutes in hell, we would never come back and live the way we do on this earth. We'd be serious about God. So I played that little portion. Oh, my goodness, it was pretty descriptive. So I had it on my answering device. Now, this is how far away the church world is. And I began to realize it way back 20, 30 years ago. I had that message on my device. It was David Wilkerson, part of his message. And my niece Karen had a friend whose dad was the pastor of the Methodist Church in a nearby town. And she couldn't, we didn't have cell phones then. And I said, look, she wanted her to call him, but something was going on. She couldn't get the message to her. I said, look, I'm going to be in town. I'll just leave a sticker on his door and have him call my number. So that we can get the message. I forgot about my answering machine. He called the number and got the answering machine.
It shook this preacher up so bad, he called the sheriff on me. I had the sheriff knocking on my door. And he said, "Kevin, I called the number. I fully understand what you're doing." He says, "I'm just following through on this call. This preacher wanted me to come and see and make sure I wasn't threatening him." Well, I was. I was warning him to keep oil in his lamp. He was so far out of touch, he didn't even... The deputy sheriff got it. The preacher had no clue. He calls the sheriff on me because I had that on my answering machine. He called my number and got it. So shook up, he called. This is how far away we are. So what are some of the signs the Word talks about that are in the process of coming to pass or have not yet happened? We're going to start looking at them. I'm not going to get into them very far. I can see that right now. Matthew 14:14, and this is a big one to me, because when this is fully accomplished in the earth, this is when the end will come. And this, church, is in our hands. This is what God's waiting on from us. Not to make a perfect world, like I said earlier in preterism, but to be obedient to do this thing. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And then shall the end come. When the gospel is effectively preached in the far corners of the earth, places it has not gone, then it's time for the end to happen. Now, many believe that this is our... I say we're pretty close. But we're not at the other end time sign, so it tells me we have more work to do. Now, we have the internet, we have satellites, we have all this stuff. But being around Wycliffe Bible translators, they're still translating Bibles into languages, tribal languages in different parts of the uttermost parts of this earth. They were doing it in Guatemala with Mayan languages that they've not yet had the word. So I think we're right. I think we're very close to that. Because this has been the church age, and the church has spread around the world. This is another reason. I don't want to get on preterism too much. But how could Jesus have come back in 70 AD when the Bible hadn't hardly got out of the Middle East and the Mediterranean area? Hadn't gone up into Europe, hadn't gone to Australia, hadn't come to this continent? Jesus said the gospel would preach in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end will come. That's when he'll return. So stay in your word and you won't get deceived. So it's kind of debatable, at least how close we are to fulfilling the Great Commission. Right? If you're one of these people that say, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly," you can speed it up by going somewhere where the gospel's not been preached and getting it there. Right? A little plug on evangelism from me. All right. Second thing that I don't think we've seen the magnitude of what's coming, and I was trying to find a good video for it last night, and I know they're out there. I've seen a lot of them, but they were really long ones, what scientists are saying. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:7, "For nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers or various, all kinds of places." Now those were signs Jesus saying had to happen before he returned. We've seen nation rise against nation now. 2-3 times in our world in the last century. World War I, World War II, and even the Gulf War had all kinds of nations all over the world involved in it. Nowhere in the world's history did you ever see so many countries involved in war together as we have seen. So I think that sign has happened. Famines and pestilences. There's been famines. If you read about the famines of the earth, especially in this last century, it'll horrify you to see the millions of people that have died of starvation in Africa and different places of the world. Weather patterns are changing. A lot of people want to say it's global warming, but there's a lot more to it than that. Famines, pestilences. A pestilence is diseases. Diseases. And you can go back 100 years, the Spanish flu killed per capita more people than COVID. But now we kind of forget. Do you know the AIDS epidemic is still killing people almost to the rate of almost 1 million a year in the world? Nobody's talking about it anymore. I remember when that thing rose its ugly head and people dying everywhere. We're coming through COVID now. But pestilences, we're seeing those signs. But I'm going to tell you, people, earthquakes, I don't think we have seen yet what is coming in the form of earthquakes. We've seen some pretty bad ones. The one over that caused the tsunamis in Thailand and stuff, that shook me up bad. I watched those waves. The one in Japan. But I think I'm going to tell you to brace yourself. Don't be shook up, but there will be some bad ones coming. And there will be at least one, and I'm not speaking this of my own prophecy. I'm getting this from a credible prophet. There will be one here in this country like we've never seen before, and it may not be in an area you think. Be ready. America has teetered on the edge of judgment for a long time. God has done a lot of things. He's allowed a lot of things to try to wake us up. And even 9/11 woke us up for what, 30 seconds, and we went back to sleep, and now we're in worse shape than ever. We are teetering on judgment. How long do we go aborting all these children every year? You know what? I think of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I think of the sins of America. I didn't see in the Bible where in Sodom and Gomorrah they made gay marriage legal, even though that was going on there. I didn't see that. I didn't see where they were aborting all these children. So where are we? Do we not fear God anymore? Mary, you started this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. And if there isn't a move of God, and if you want that to not happen, again, preach the gospel. Pray for a great move, a revival of God. Do you know what happened on Azusa Street when the Spirit fell out west in L.A. in that warehouse? A prophecy came forth, and the person by the outside world was laughed at. He said, very soon. And keep in mind, this happened around 1906. So did the Wales revival, same thing. It was kind of neat how God simultaneously moved deeply in both of those, and they didn't have anything to do with one another. What a coincidence. But a prophecy came forth that San Francisco was about to be leveled by an earthquake. And the person was laughed, not by the people in the revival, right? The outside world. And just weeks later, San Francisco was leveled by an earthquake. God, if they had just paid attention, God is trying to get their attention before it's too late. Now we know it's the thief that comes and robs and kills and steals and destroys, but sometimes God has to say this to us. You want to live without me? Don't want to have my protection? I'll let you see what that's like. Because I love you and I need you to come to me before you perish forever. Amen. We have not seen yet the magnitude. And Even recently, and I showed this video a year or two ago. Do you remember me, Vicky, showing about Yellowstone, Wyoming? Underneath Yellowstone Park, they've discovered that this magma, this volcano that's under there, is bigger than what they thought. And they said, if this thing ever blows, it'll take off a good chunk of the western half of the United States. It will. They're setting on a time bomb. They've been kind of wondering whether to warn visitors there because the ground in that area keeps rising. It rose 3 inches last year. It's rising. And they're testing for helium, which often takes place before a volcano blows. I'm not saying that's where it's going to happen, but I'm saying we need to be praying for our nation. Earthquakes, not just here, but in various places, are going to happen. Jesus prophesied it. And I don't think we've seen one of the signs to the full extent of what we're going to see.
All right? So be ready. If that happens, I don't want you to be in fear. Don't want you to be in fear. Prophetic places in the Bible speak of these earthquakes. Credible prophets like, again, David Wilkerson speak of one hitting the United States by surprise that will be worse than we have experienced. And you know what he said would happen preceding it? That there would be one hit Japan ahead of it. Now, what happened a few years ago in Japan? Did you guys see the pictures of the tsunami that came in and wiped out, 10, 20,000 people? He said there would be one preceded in Japan. Now we have that sign. To me, a credible prophet, you watch, and if it comes to pass, that person's credible. And I believe he's credible. America needs to wake up. And God will have to take the last resort measures due to the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah that we have committed here. And yes, even worse, if he has to, because he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it's sort of like a parent. If you've told your kid over and over again to stay off the road, and then the kid won't stay off the road, then you have to grab that child and give him the rod of correction. You have to take more. Not that you want to, but you're trying to save that person's life. And God loves us so much that if he has to allow this stuff to wake us up, it'll happen. Also, we will see signs in the heavens, in our solar system, like perhaps we have never before. People will try to give an explanation, but those will be off base, even fed from the lies of Satan, little green men from Mars. These signs coming will alert those walking in the Spirit of God to ease the fear of those that don't know him by urging them to be born again and take refuge in Jesus. And I know this is. I know we haven't seen the extent of these signs yet, because in Luke 21, 24 through 26, it says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after these things which are coming to the earth, for the powers of the heaven shall be shaken." And I don't believe that happens after the rapture. I believe that is a sign to wake people up, to get them ready before Jesus comes and splits the sky. Isaiah 24, 19 and 20. "The earth is violently broken. The earth is split open. The earth is shaken exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall totter like a hut. Its transgression shall be heavy upon it. It will fall and not rise again." I think of that all the time. Scientists are talking about seismic activity. Great volcanoes and earthquakes could literally affect the Earth's orbit and what happens to the Earth. What? Sounds a lot like Isaiah. It'll reel to and fro like a drunkard. Acts 2, 17 through 21, one of my favorite passages. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out of those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." Now, you understand, this is the church age. It started on the day of Pentecost. And it continues all the way till Jesus comes. But he also says this will happen during that time, what I just read. "And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Did you get that? The sun will grow dark, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. We're in the church age. What he's talking about started on the day of Pentecost. We're in the day and age where when people call on the name of the Lord and mean it, they'll be saved. And God will show all these signs will happen, because it will put the fear of the Lord in people so they will come to God. It's an act of mercy, people. It's an act of mercy. Church, this is not some event that will happen after you and I are long gone from the earth after the rapture. These events are designed by God to be his last effort to wake people up before it's too late. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Notice what Peter is saying here in the book of Acts. He is talking about the church age, the age of grace, and that if we would just call on the name of the Lord and mean it, we will be saved. And Jesus proclaimed the same thing in Matthew 24, verse 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. His angels will assist him. They will take the saved. They will take us from the air, because we're meeting him in the air, and gather all his people. But notice the timetable. He says it will happen. Jesus proclaimed that the angels will gather those that are his from one end of heaven to the other. When the rapture takes place, we will meet the Lord in the air. And yes, it will be at the sound of a trumpet. Do you remember the sermon I gave you of the weird sounds in the atmosphere? How many of you were here? And you could hear trumpets sounding in China, here, Australia, everywhere on the planet. Every now and then this eerie sound of a shofar or a trumpet or something in the sky. And scientists have a lot of theories, but they didn't agree, and they really don't know what's causing it. This has been in the last 10 years. Signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, the atmosphere, we're getting them, people. When the rapture takes place, we will meet the Lord in the air, and it will be at the sound of a trumpet. In fact, it will happen when the last trumpet sounds, because Paul says it in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, and 52. Behold, and I'm going to stop here. I'm going to show you a video, and then I'm going to have you go home and think about things I said today. Get busy. Witness. Get the gospel. We're running out of time. It can happen very quickly. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Not the first, not the second, but the last. That's important. At the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Jesus said the same thing, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And that's why I believe that is most definitely the rapture. I don't think he's going to do two or three raptures and take this group today and the Jews tomorrow. And I think we're all going up together. After the Jews' eyes are open, that's a sign I haven't got to yet. After their eyes are opened, we're all one in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to close with this very short video. Don't put it in quite yet. And it ought to get you thinking, and I hope it motivates you, church, to make sure everyone you love, whether they be at school, whether they be at your place of work, whether it be in your family, whether they be in front of you in the grocery store, don't matter. Because it can happen this quick and this soon, because no man knows the day or the hour. And you have to turn the sound up a little bit with this too. Okay, so go ahead and show this video.